here? You may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church! Are you excited to praise and worship God this morning?
Yeah.
Hallelujah! Why don't you all just stand up and come towards the front? We've got a very special service today. We've got baptisms, amen? I am so excited. First service was awesome. We got to see people set free and healed and walk out of this tank a brand new person, and that's all what it's about, amen? Go ahead and just stand up and come towards the front. We're going to pray and get right into the presence of God. If you're new here and you don't know what baptisms are, baptisms is when you go into this tank with expectation that God is going to set you free. And when you come back up, you're a new creature in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. This is so powerful. So we're going to get right into it and just usher Him in. Amen. There you go. Let me see you clap.
What can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And what can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Come on, sing it out.
What can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And what can make me
nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Come on.
What can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of today is mine.
is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine.
Come on, Jess, you guys, come on.
Victory is mine.
Let me hear it.
Victory is mine. Victory today is mine.
Come on, all over this place.
I told Satan,
this place, just lift your hands and just say the name of Jesus. Come on, whenever you say his name, there he is. Whenever we tell him how great he is, there he is. The word says that he inhabits the praises of his people. So go ahead, let him live in your praises this morning. Thank you, Jesus. You are so great.
Jesus, I love you so. Your blood still, it flows from your throne.
Come on, sing it out.
Jesus, some still don't know. The blood that you shed, still it flows. Jesus, I love you so. Still don't know the blood that she shed, still it flows. Jesus, I love you so. Your blood still, it flows from your throne. Jesus, some still don't know the blood that she shed. Still it flows from your throne, Jesus. Jesus,
some still don't know
the blood that you shed, still it flows,
Jesus.
Jesus, I love you so. Your blood still it flows from your throne.
Sing Jesus.
Jesus, some still don't know the blood that you shed, still it flows.
Your blood
never loses
Power.
testimony, everyone overcome. We will overcome
by the blood of the Lamb
and the word of
our testimony.
Everyone overcome. Jesus. Lift your hands with me right now. Lord, we set aside every distraction. We set aside every thought that's not of you, Lord. We forget about the words. We forget about the music. Jesus, we just want to think on you. We just want to worship you and lift you up and exalt you exactly where you need to be.
There is no one else.
have anything to say thank you for today, if you have any reason, come on, lift your hands with me. If you're here, if you made it this morning, come on and worship with me. Come on.
Yes, Lord, there is no one else.
Yeah, yeah.
You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you.
For you are great. You do miracles so great.
There is no one else like you.
There is no one.
There is no one else.
You are great.
You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.
The presence of Jesus is here. Wherever the presence of Jesus is, there's everything you need. Some of you need healing in your bodies. You need to start asking him right now. He's in the house. Put your hand on yourself and just release the healing power of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you heal the sick. Lord, no sickness, no disease, no maiming, and no wounding. We declare, God, that the spirit of infirmity has no right in our body or on our body. But Lord, today, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Lord, we just speak health right now. Lord, not just healing, but we speak health. God, you are the God that provided a health plan for us. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And forget not all of his benefits, who forgives every single sin and heals every single disease. You do miracles, great God. And today, we stand here in the authority of your name, and we command diseases that are in the bodies of the people in this room that are your sons and daughters. Hear us, disease. You have no right. You're trespassing. We command you in the name of Jesus to get out of the bodies. We command you to stop destroying the cells, and we command a regeneration and reconstruction in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord, from the top of the head to the bottom of our feet. Jesus, you paid the price so that we don't have to. Lord, we give you honor and praise. Lord, we speak blessing even in our finances. Lord, prosperity in all parts of our life. I pray that you'll prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. Lord, today as we start dealing with our soul, we pray, God, you'll make us whole. Jesus, we love you. And today we are grateful. We're grateful that you're here. Lord, I don't know. I don't know what would happen if you didn't show up. I don't know why we'd waste our time if you're not here. So please hear us. We don't want just your presence. We want more. Lord, you've heard my prayer for well over a year. I'm praying for a Chronicles experience in this church. Lord, that during a worship service, your glory is going to come and just like a blanket so heavy that, Lord, there's not one person, sinner or saint, that will be able to stand in the presence of God. Lord, I just believe that if you just give us just the breath, it would so bring us in awe of your greatness. So please, Jesus, can you give us more? We want more of you. We need more of you. So, Lord, we're asking. Father, the word says if we ask anything in Jesus' name, you'll give it to us. We're asking for such an outpouring of your love and power and reality of presence that there's not one person here, online, or on television when they watch it, not one will be able to deny the greatness of our God. And we honor you this morning with telling you, we love you. We love you, Jesus. Come on, tell him right now. Tell him. Talk to him right now. He's waiting to hear your voice. We love you, Jesus. Make yourself so real. We need you so much. We love you. We love you, God. I sense a spirit of peace coming on some of you. They've been troubled. You've been really troubled in your soul. God's bringing peace. You got a bunch of things happening around you. It's that waves and the wind and the storm that's in your life. And Jesus is getting up and speaking, peace, be still. You've been wondering when it's going to end. It's ending today. Peace, be still. In Jesus' name, I command it. Father, release the favor of God in this house. Thank you for your goodness. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Ero barakariste dure durumat. Jesus.
This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence, living in me.
Jesus, we love you.
This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me.
That's our prayer. Really, that's all that matters. And I want to encourage you today to make that the drive of your life. Jesus, I'm desperate for you. Look, you can gain everything on this planet that it has to offer. You can live in a $10 million, $20 million, $50 million house. You can drive Lamborghinis. You can have the most beautiful spouse, 10,000 children in a crop in the fields, millions of dollars in the bank, and walk away as empty and unfulfilled. There's only one that matters, and that's Jesus. You get that in your life, this song becomes more than a song. It becomes your prayer. Everything shifts. Because your attention is no longer on what you can acquire. Your attention is on the provider, the source. When the source is your view, maybe you can't miss it. He's good. You know, today as your pastor, I just want you to hear me clearly. I make this prayer all the time. God, I don't want you bad enough. I don't want you bad enough. I need you more. And Holy Spirit, if you don't give me that passion and that desire for more, then I can't have it. So I ask constantly, Holy Spirit, give me a greater hunger for those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Give me a greater hunger for Jesus. Give me a greater hunger for more of God. You see, when you ask for that, He'll give it to you. And man, when He gives you that, let me tell you, honestly, you know, I've been in ministry a long time, and it's interesting watching, you know, this church started with five people 21 years ago last week. And now on a given Sunday, there's 800 people, 850 people, and there's another 100 plus up in Ithaca. This church ministers to about 16,000 people per week, including television. And let me tell you what I've come to a conclusion of. You really don't get great joy out of that. Every monumental climb that you make is almost anticlimactical. It's exciting that you're seeing more souls saved, but when your worth is tapped into what you do, you lose absolute. What I've learned is this, what we just did, who we just sang to, his presence that we just felt, honestly, that's the only thing that really fills the hole. And I challenge you to get there. Because when you do, all the other stuff is just stuff. As long as you've got him, baby, you're running tight. And I pray you get that in your spirit. That's my heart. That's all I want. Because without him, man, I've learned you can have all the success and still have nothing. I want him. He'll bring the success. But I want him. Amen. We're not going to do meet and greet today. We ran out of time. But if you could make your way back to your chair, we met and greeted with Jesus. So, amen. I love you, baby girl. Make your way back to your chair. Announcements will be coming up for in any second.
And are so blessed that you choose to be a part of his work every single Sunday. If you are a guest in this house, we're going to ask that you raise your hand. We have a gift for you, a packet for you. Just keep it nice and high. There are guest hosts that are going to come around and bless you. Also, if you are a guest, directly after service, we're going to invite you over to this side of the building. Our staff and pastors would love an opportunity to get to know you. We are all about relationship, just as Jesus. You can come to guest reception too. Jesus loves all people, amen. So, we would love to invite you over on the side of the building for the guest reception. We have some amazing things coming up. Next Sunday, we have one service. Turn to someone next to you and say, one service. Turn to someone else, say, 10 a.m. You do not want to miss this service. We will have guest speaker, Pastor Rick Shelton. He is actually Joyce Meyer's pastor, and he is going to come to bless us, to bring a word from the Lord. Any chance you have to get a hold of the anointing, you want to be in the house to get that. So that is next Sunday, one service, 10 a.m. Make sure that you are aware of that. Write it down. Set yourself an alarm, whatever you need to do, okay? Remind one another. Also, we want to remind you that we have groups. Who here is in a group? How many of you are in a group? Yes, awesome. So the Bible tells us that we need to be as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. So it's important for us to participate in the kingdom together, to build each other up, to equip each other, to encourage each other. So we want to encourage you to get in a group, build those relationships. You can find out right at the back desk in the foyer a little bit more about our groups. Also, we have a women's conference, March 1st and 2nd. It is going to be powerful. So you want to make sure that you register. The theme is there's no place but up. There's no place to go but up. So you want to make sure that you come out to that. Men, make sure that your wives are able to be there. Ladies, there are little postcards, again, in the foyer. You want to grab one of those and give them to your friends. Give them to your coworkers. Give them to your family. You do not want to miss this opportunity to be changed and transformed. Other than that, read your bulletins. There's a lot going on in the house of God. We would like to invite Pastor Andrea up to bless us with the tithes and the offerings this morning.
Amen. Good morning, HT. Come on. Say to your neighbors on the left and right, say, good morning, HT. Amen. Now, I want you to realize and recognize that you are blessed people. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. So to the neighbor on the left and right, say, you are blessed people. You're blessed. Amen. God has blessed us so mightily and supernaturally. And this year, as we move to the next level, say next level. We have to get into the mindset of God and with his practices and his principles. Amen? So I want to ask you just a couple of questions. Do you think that God loves you? Come on, give him praise and glory if you agree with me on that one, okay? Okay, so we have agreement on that, okay? Do you think that God's a giver? Amen. Come on, let's give him praise and glory for that. I want you to tell your neighbor on the left and the right at least one thing that God has blessed you with. Amen. Quickly, tell them now. Health and wealth and your loved ones and your jobs and cars and houses. It's a lot of stuff that God has blessed us with, right? Amen. So as we come today, I just want to challenge you with the word. We've seen some phenomenal things already at this next level. How many people were involved in our time of first fruits, praise and fasting and prayer? Amen. Raise your hand if you were. Amen. And have you already seen God do some supernatural things in that? Amen. Also, how many folks are on the prayer line at 6:15 a.m.? 6:15, okay, amen. And I've already seen, we have record numbers, 160 people on the prayer line one day, 120 people on the prayer line. And do you know what? When we pray, God acts. He responds to our prayers, right? Amen. So if you're in agreement with these principles, I want to share another principle with you, because in the Word of God, and the Word of God, it has power. It's not just a couple of words that we want to send out. When we send the Word of God out, it does not return void, useless, or empty. It accomplishes that which we send it. It goes to work. Amen? So check this out. Luke, it's important. Check this out, these scriptures. Luke 6:38. If you have your phones, dial them up right now. Luke 6:38. It's a principle of God, because we already established that God is a giver. Amen? And so let me tell you what he is saying about that next level of giving that he's calling us to. It's his principle. It's his precept. And it says in the Word of God, this is the New Living Translation, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together. Isn't this awesome? And it says to make room for more, running over and pour it into your lap. That's what the Word of God says. Amen. And then it says the amount that you will give determines the amount that you get back. So it's tithe, talent, resources, money. If you stand in need of money, give. He'll give it back to you. If you stand in need of healing, amen, peace, amen, restored restoration, amen, in your household. So no matter what you're standing in need of, if you look back, because I love the Bible, and as a marketplace apostle, it says in those days when they exchanged, you know, if they went to, they would go to buy grain, or they would go to buy linen, they would go to buy something, then they would go and they'd get this grain back. But those merchants, the generous merchants, say generous. Are we a generous church? Do we have a generous God? Amen. Are we made in his image? Genesis 1. Amen. So as he is, so will we be. But it said that in those old times, when they would come, the generous grain merchant would top off the buyer's container. So when the buyer came to buy the seed, once it was filled to the top, then they would push it down. They would press it down, and he would put more on top of it. He just keep giving and giving and giving. And that's what God does with us. He just keeps giving and giving and giving. And so it would be pressed down. They would shake it so it would make more room. Then they put more in there, and then the grain would be overflowed in the buyer's lap. And the amount, though, that you would give, it would go exponentially. Because, see, increased obedience does what? it yields accelerated harvest. Amen. So today, if you're in agreement, stand to your feet, because we're going to come giving to our generous God. And the way that it works, and stand up, even if you don't have anything to give today, there are neighbors on your left and the right, and say, hey, give me some seed to give, because you know he will bless you when you give seed to the sower. Amen? And so as you come forth today, we're coming forth giving to God, giving back to him what he's already blessed us with. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, amen, will overflow to you as you come. So let's just decree and declare some stuff. God, we thank you, and I want you to say it out loud. Say it to your neighbor. I love having that eye contact, you know? Not your phone contact, but eye contact, amen? Say, I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my baskets. The blessings of the Lord will overtake me. Hey, because I'm a child of God. And so come on, decree it. Come forth. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Pressed down. Shaken together. Run it over. Overflow to you in Jesus' name. Come on forward with your blessings today. With your offerings. Amen.
It's getting quiet in here, isn't it? What a great day, eh? That was my Canadian side coming out. Praise the Lord. This is the year of... Boy, you guys blew away first service, and there's a lot less folk. Come on now. This is the year of... Next level. Isn't it great to know? Rhonda, you are so beautiful. I don't know if you realize it, but she just finished her next book, her fifth book, I'm sorry, and it's at the printer now and will be here probably in the next week and a half to 2 weeks. It's called Victory Every Day. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal book. This year, this whole year, been ministering on our next level, and sadly enough, many people in the room are in the same location they were last year spiritually. And God wants to take you beyond that. It's time to go to your next level. Turn to someone and say, it's time. Come on, tell somebody else, it's time. Hi, how are you? He's a handsome young man, isn't he? What's your girlfriend's name?
Mackenzie.
Oh, no.
So what's your girlfriend's name?
Mackenzie Coe.
Like, is she like the worship leader in this church?
She is.
You stud.
Yeah.
Do you like her?
A lot, yeah.
You like her a lot?
A lot.
You might marry the girl?
Yeah.
Do you kiss her? Baby. You know, when I do premarital counseling, one of the questions I ask is, are you attracted to them? And, you know, do you have a sexual desire to be with them? And they look at me and, you know, some couples really want to be spiritual. And they go, no. And I said, don't marry them then, because you gotta roll over to them the rest of your life. So you better think they're cute. Amen. We talked last week that that faith is a key to your next level. That without faith, you're not going anywhere. How many believers aren't living by faith? They're actually living more by sight. And God is calling us to live a life of faith. You know, the church world at large has left being the supernatural church to being the natural church. And there's a problem with that. Because this world is not interested in a natural church. We call them clubs. What they need is they need a supernatural church, the sons and daughters of God, walking by faith and not by sight, calling those things which are not as though they already are, having the boldness of the Holy Ghost and not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. You see, the church needs to rise up and be who we're called to be. But we can't do that if we're not going to walk by faith. Faith is the key to your next level. So the lack of faith each actually keeps us in a position of where we were. But not where God wants to take us. You see, the Word of God declares that we've all been given a measure of faith. Come on, I can't hear you. We've all been given a measure of
faith.
We know that faith can be measured because the Bible said, Jesus said to some, O ye of little. He said to some other ones, O ye of great. The disciples said, please increase our
faith.
So faith is something that can be measured, increased, and developed. You see, all of us are in this position where faith is not what you can see, but faith is calling those things which are not. So what that means is, I'm praying for it, I've already received it, even though I can't see it in the natural realm. You see, walking by faith is powerful because it allows you to call those things out of the eternal to manifest in the natural. So when the church has shifted from being a people of faith to being a people of the natural world, we call them seeker-sensitive churches. They don't want to offend anybody. They don't want anybody to see too many miracles. They don't want anybody to see too much power. You know, I remember one time we had a young man sitting on the front row. It was a brand new guest. And he's sitting on the front row. And that Sunday, the Holy Ghost just decided he was going to just touch a bunch of folk. And all of a sudden, right in front of this guy, we laid hands on a person, and they went out in the spirit. Doosh, like flat on the floor, right in front of him. And I saw his eyeballs. I guarantee, though, that when he saw the person pass out because they were so drunk at the bar, he didn't go. He went, ha, 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 ha. But what's happened is the church world, we've been so afraid to be supernatural people because we're afraid that the world isn't going to accept us. By the way, they're not going to accept you because you are different from them. You are a peculiar people. You are not normal, but you are supernatural. You have been brought and bought into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of our dear King Jesus, who is not a natural God, but a supernatural God. He is not a religion. He is a savior. And as you and I are living on this earth, we've got to make a decision. Are we going to be the natural church that is not going to make any supernatural impact, or are we going to be a supernatural church, walk by faith, go to our next level, and see God use our lives to transform other people's lives? I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in being a religious institution. I want to see God move in my life, but that means I can't be who I am right now tomorrow. I have got to grow. I have got to mature. I have got to develop. I have got to go to my next level. And each one of us struggle with this because we're all at different levels in the kingdom of God. We're all at different levels in our maturity rate and where we are in our relationship with Christ. But no matter where you are, there is a next level. But you can't get there but by faith. So faith is your key. The Bible says that faith, because it can be measured, faith also must be increased. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word shows how desperate the enemy is to keep you out of the word. He's striving to keep you out of the word. He's striving to keep you out of Sundays. Why? Because less word, less power. Less word, less faith. There's no way you're going to call something that is not as though it already is if you have a struggle with your relationship with Jesus Christ because you don't know him. I want to remind you, faith is synonymous with trust. The more you know God, the verse for our entire church, all the way from year to year, is John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you and the Son you have sent. Knowing God is the summit. Knowing God is our goal. Knowing God, why is that so imperative? Because the more you know him, the more you trust him. You don't see him as a small little God stuck in a little religious corner, but he is a supernatural King of kings and Lord of lords who called those things which are not as though they already are. You see, I'm not serving a religion. I'm not serving a church. I'm serving God, the one who was and is to come, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the holy, the righteous, the faithful one. He is Jesus, and he is from everlasting to everlasting. The more you know him, the more your faith rises. The more bold you get because you know you're not standing alone. You see, this is the relationship that we're talking about. The problem is that a lot of people are living a life of fear, not of faith. They exclaim it like this: I'll believe it when I see it. What you're actually saying is, I'm afraid to believe because I don't want to be disappointed. So if it shows up, then I'll believe it. But if it doesn't, then I'm not disappointed. I actually prayed for a man one day. I said, can I pray for you? He said, sure. I said, I want to pray for a miracle. He said, no, don't do that, please. I don't want to be disappointed. Well, we can say, oh my, all we want, but the fact is that many of us live that life. You see, fear is powerful. In fact, fear is what kept the children of Israel out of the blessing of the promised land. Hebrews said they could not enter because of unbelief. Why couldn't they believe? Because they saw themselves as grasshoppers in their own sight. Therefore, they were grasshoppers. You see, how you see yourself and the fear you allow to control your life is going to hold you to where you are, not where God wants you to be. God's plan for you is yay and amen. God's plan for you is not where you are, but his design is that you are going to make a supernatural impact on this planet. And when you leave, you're not going to have a headstone, because they're going to remember you because of how you have left the imprint of heaven on earth. So if faith is the key to our next level, the struggle is that fear then is our lockbox that holds us back. We must identify fear. Fear is not your friend. Fear is powerful. In fact, whether you realize it or not, 88% of all people have hidden fears. Fear will do one of two things to you. Number one, it will arrest you and will hold you captive to where you are. Or number two, fear will propel you and move you forward. You know what's interesting, as I started learning, as I've done some study on this in physiological and science, is recognizing that the armed forces with the elite groups, what they actually do is they'll waterboard them to bring fear out of their life. They actually will bring them to a place of stress so much that fear starts to take over, but they have to hold it down, and they'll learn how to grow in fear, not in fear controlling, but them controlling their fears. The problem is with most believers is that we are living our lives and our soul is so captivated by fear that every time our spirit man says it's time to take a step of faith, you live more in your fear realm than you do in your faith realm. And instead of moving forward, you retract. You're either going to tame your fear, or fear is going to tame you. This is what you're going to learn today. You ready? This is what you're going to walk away with. If fear controls you, you will never reach your next level. Let me say it one more time. Turn to someone and say, if fear controls you,
you will never reach your next level. The verse is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and it says this: for God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. Now, I want to talk about fear a little bit because I believe it's important to understand. God created us fearfully and wonderfully. Amen. Does everybody believe the Bible says that? And in that, there is a good fear and there is a bad fear. Not all fear is bad. Some fear is positive. In fact, God programmed. So let me share with you what that is. It's called, what happens is when all of a sudden you get scared, something happens in your physiological. Physiologically, what happens the moment you get scared, the amygdala, the gland, sends a message to your, adrenal glands, and your adrenal gland releases adrenaline. They actually did study, which is really cool. Men that were at war, people that were at war, what would happen is when they were scared, the adrenaline would go to their hands to be able to grab a weapon or fight their way out. There are some where there's a need to flight, to have flight in your life, that all of a sudden when that adrenaline release is done, it goes to your legs. That's why you can run faster. You've heard people say that, and the stories that have been out there, how people have picked up cars and they moved boulders that were impossible. Why is that? Well, because there was a stimulation where all of a sudden in the amygdala gland, it sent a message to the adrenal gland, and the adrenal gland sent adrenaline to that portion of the body that needed the strength to accomplish the task. That is, I don't know about you, that is stinking cool, and that is God-given. So fear in and of itself is not a bad thing, because fear always moves somebody forward. But there is a fear that will destroy you. And we can find it in physiological study as well. What happens is this: your prefrontal cortex. Jesus. Ah! Oh, did I say that right? As one of the doctors, prefrontal cortex gets a message and sends it to your adrenal gland. And this is when it becomes dangerous. When you start to meditate and think about your fears, all of a sudden, the release of chemical in your body is no longer adrenaline. Cortisol. It's no longer adrenaline, but cortisol. Now, let me explain what that is. That's a chemical that brings you into depression. That's a chemical that brings anxieties. That's a chemical that is released in your physical body that all of a sudden starts arresting your body from moving forward, and it brings you into a depressive state, a place where you are now surviving, a place where you're now dealing with mass anxiety. And we're seeing that across the United States of America within the church realm, where the church realm is struggling with so much of this, because what's happening is they're living a life of fear instead of living a life of faith, but they don't know they're living in fear because the pastors aren't teaching the word of God. When the word of God is taught about how to live by faith, you can overcome fear, because fear is not of God, and God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. But you've got to learn how to control, or you will be controlled. Now, I want to remind you that we are a trichotomous being. What does that mean? We are created in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. How is God? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He is three yet. Come on. Come on. Rock solid faith teaching. Come on. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Three yet.
One.
Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Three yet.
One.
You and I are a spirit. Turn to someone and say, I'm a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. You're trichotomous too, just like God, created in his image. You see, the great part of that is God said that I am a spirit, and those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verse 24. And you and I have a spirit. When you and I are not born again, the Bible says that you are dead in your trespasses and sin. That you will live eternally, but you'll be separated from God because your spirit man is not alive. But the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the blood comes in and washes your sins away. That very moment you become a new creation in Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God comes and dwells inside of you. You've gone from death to life, darkness to light. You are now born again, for that you cannot enter the kingdom of God without being born again, according to John chapter 3, verse 3. The moment you're saved, everything changes. Why? Because now God by his Spirit dwells inside of you. But we still have an issue, and that's called our soul, our intellect, our emotions, and our will. Our emotions are very powerful, and this is what we're talking about when we're talking about fear. Because what happens is God created us in perfection, but because of sin with Adam and Eve, we have the Adamic nature. And that Adamic nature means that our soulish man starts to try to take control. Listen, the greatest enemy of our life is not Lucifer. He has already been defeated according to the Word of God. Our greatest enemy is called our flesh or our soul. Romans chapter 8 says the very enemy of God is the soul of man. You've got to know that your soul does not want you to lose control. The soul wants to control your life. The Spirit of God is supposed to be controlling your life, but your soul wants to win. So what does that mean? That means that the greatest way to keep you from faith is to keep you in fear. Fear is the one major thing that everybody in this planet deals with. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care where you were born. I don't care what your background would be with your parental aspect or your religious aspect or whether you had money or no money. It doesn't matter. Every one of us deal with the same issues. And one of these that destroys faith is called fear. That fear that now controls us, that fear that now brings us into a depression, that fear that now is called a phobia and now literally controls your life. You ever seen somebody with a fear of crossing bridges? A fear of flying in airplanes? How about fear of going into public? I remember we had a woman in Orange, Massachusetts. She had agoraphobia, and for 5 years she never left her house. That night, they got her to the back of the church. They couldn't get her to the front of the church, but they got her to the back of the church so in her mind, she could escape very quickly. But after service, I walked up to her and I started praying for her and I cast out that spirit of fear that was on her life. I commanded right now that foul spirit that was controlling her with that phobia now to be broken in Jesus' name. That anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. And that day her face changed. Her very appearance changed. And what happens after that? She never went back to that house and stayed there. She has complete freedom. Why? Because he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. The Bible says that fear, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. This is why the more you know him, the less you're going to be tormented. Fear is interesting because it comes from somewhere. Fear can come from the past. You don't mind me being a little open, do you? I've always struggled with rejection and with abandonment. All the way back, and it's never with women, it's always with men. I had my best friends abandon me and rejected me, and then from there, my dad did when I was 15 years old. And then when I went to college and had different experiences, I just want to let you know that this is a very bad fear to have when you're a pastor of a church. It is really normal that you're abandoned as a pastor. It's really normal that the people you're investing the most in are the quickest to turn on you. It's really normal to have people that call you their friends to walk away from you. It's normal. So this is not a really good fear to have. But yet I've had to learn how to deal with these things. If I didn't learn how to deal with the fear of my past, then it would would never allow me to be who I'm supposed to be for the future. I had to learn some things and still learning some things, because that little demon never stays in the corner. Can I hear an amen? I had to learn how to deal with that emotion when it starts to rise. I had to deal with not retracting and going into a quiet place. I remember one time, the very first time that we ever dealt with rejection in the church world was our church in Newfield. And I remember being there, and a woman and a man came up to me, and they said, "Listen, we're out of here if you don't change the music. You don't change the music, me and my whole family, we're leaving, and we're taking our money with us." Well, let me tell you something. I went into a depression. Man, all I did was bless that family. All I did was be an encouragement to that family. All I did was strengthen and speak life to that family. And now they're threatening me. Now they're walking away from me. I remember I went into a depression. I struggled desperately with that. But what the Spirit of God was teaching me was, Spencer, you got to learn how to deal with this fear of rejection. You've got to learn how to deal with this fear of abandonment, because it is the rest of your life, whether you like it or not. Let me tell you something. I don't care. All the way back in Newfield over 25 years ago, and maybe a little bit more than that, 1991, or today in 2019, the emotions are the same, but the difference has to be how you're dealing with it, or you'll never go to your next level. I had to learn that when that spirit of fear came in my life, that when I started feeling abandonment, when I started feeling rejection of people that I have loved and spent time with and encouraged and built up, and now they're turning on you and walking away from you, I had to learn how to control those emotions instead of allowing those emotions to control me. Instead of allowing my fear to make me a person that is distant, I had to learn that the cycle of love is the rest of my life. Every time I love somebody, I become vulnerable. Every time I become vulnerable, it is inevitable. I will be hurt. And every time I do get hurt, I've got to forgive or I cannot love again. And I've had to learn how to make this my life. You see, my past, especially with my family, when I dealt with the rejection of my father, when I dealt with the abandonment as he walked out of our home and told me I was the reason he was leaving, when that happened in my life, I want you to recognize that it made an imprint on my soul, and God has to restore your soul. God doesn't just want to heal you. God wants to teach you how to take control of it when it tries to come back. Fear is powerful. Fear can also come from what we call impartation. You know, some of you are afraid of snakes, not because a snake ever bit you, but because your mom was afraid of snakes. Your daddy was afraid of snakes. No, daddies get afraid of snakes. How about spiders? We have this young man that grew up at our house. He's 56 shoulders. He's just a huge man. And so one day I knew he was afraid of spiders. What do they call that? Arachnophobia. Come on now. I can't even spell that. And so one day I wanted to torment him. Fear is torment, the scripture said. So I decided to help it. So I called him up and I said, "Man, I need help in my basement." And he said, "Okay." So he came over and I went down, not to the basement, but I went to the potato cellar, which is in the lower part of the basement. And I went to the far corner, so he followed me all the way in, about 20 feet. And then I took my flashlight and went click. Boy, there's a lot of spiders on the ceiling. You've never heard a grown man scream like a little girl in your entire life. Ah! It was the best. Fear can be imparted. Some of your children are afraid to go into a relationship because your fear of relationships. Some of your family are afraid to go into Christ and know Christ because of your bad experiences that you passed on. Fear is powerful. The last part of fear, where it comes from, is the future. Because we've never been where we're going. So therefore, we are afraid of failure. Failure. Let me tell you something. The only thing that truly is a failure is somebody that's not willing to move forward. Failing is not falling. Failing is not getting back up. You know, I've always said it this way. Give me 1,000 people who are sitting there and they're not willing to fail, but give me 100 who are willing to fail, and soon enough I'll have 2,000. Why? Because people who live by the fear of failure for the future are people that are now controlled by something they are only presuming to be true, have no validity in. You see, if you're fearing the future, you're actually presuming that you're going to have problems. You're presuming that you're going to have the fear come in. You're presuming, and fear is going to start taking over and holding you back. You got to make a decision. I don't care what the issue is. I'm not staying. Listen, I love my wife, but if my wife doesn't want to go forward, I still am. Did you hear what she said? Catch up. Let's be true. Let's just talk about it. One day I said to her, I said, you need to write a book. And she said, no. She says, I can't write a book. Who says you can't write a book? This book's in you. The place that's filled with the most powerful inventions and cures is called the graveyard. Because people have been afraid to do it and then they died. I said to Rhonda, you can write a book. I'm telling you. You got to write what's in your spirit. I said, we're going to start going to Barnes & Noble every Wednesday. And I started to make her write. She overcame her fear. And now she's on her fifth book. She's traveled the world with them. And God has used that ministry to change many, many lives. I want you to recognize your fear of the future is not going to just hold you back. It's going to hold other people back. So fear is powerful. We've got to make a decision that I refuse to be held by fear. You know what's amazing is fear is like a baby. Fear grows. You ever seen somebody who has a phobia? Fear in its infant state influences you from moving forward. But fear never stays in infancy. Fear wants to take over. Because your soul knows that if fear can fill your heart, then faith will be pushed out. If faith gets pushed out, then you'll never move forward in your relationship with Jesus. You'll never fulfill God's destiny for your life. You'll never do what God's called you to do. And I want you to know this, that the enemy of your soul is so desperate for keeping you in the position that you're at. Because if he can keep you there, then less people are going to heaven. Then less lives are transformed. You see, God has placed you in a circle of influence of individuals. And he wants to use your life to transform them. But fear forces faith out, so therefore you are not filled with the faith to stand firm in your boldness, but now you freak out and you retract yourself because you're afraid of them rejecting you or making fun of you. When fear grows up into a phobia, now you're controlled. I remember being on the motorcycle trip. We went cross country. We were coming into Yakima, Washington. Has anybody ever been to Yakima? Whoa, we got one. Anybody else? Yakima? Did you go to Yakima? Two in Yakima? Ain't much in Yakima. Going into Yakima, there is a bridge, a suspension bridge. Now, we're riding Harleys across this suspension bridge with wind warnings. The bridge is moving. And I remember we stopped on the other side of the bridge. Now, our friends were riding a trike. How many of you remember Neil and Melissa Curry? They're riding the trike. So they were cool. I'm on a road glide, uncool, two wheels. And let me tell you something. I had genuine fear. The adrenaline rush went to my hands as I'm holding on to the handlebars, and I had white knuckles busting through. But when I got across, I had to make a decision. Was it really that bad? Yes, it was really that bad. But did you make it? Yes, I made it. So the next bridge I went over, I made a decision. I'm going to be okay. Not just because many people have crossed this bridge, but because I got the bridge builder living in my life. Everything comes down to our knowledge of God. When you know him, you have faith in him. He's able to bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. If God is for you, who can be against you? When you know your God, you can call those things which are not as though they already are. When you know your God, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When you know your God, you don't have to live in fear, but you can rise in faith and you can tell your fear to back down in the name of Jesus, and you can stand firm and know that your God is able. Listen, his hand is not too short. His power is not too weak. God is able to bless you. God is able to move mountains. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt. You see, doubt is instigated by fear. Fear that God is too weak to accomplish what he said he will do. So each one of us, really doesn't matter who you are, how successful you are, we all still deal with fear. Thank God for the positive fear. Sometimes you got to hang on to the handlebars. Don't let them go. I just got shares. I did a missions trip to Northern Sanitaire, Quebec, Canada, which is the last, it's the last village before you go to James Bay. And so it's with the Cree Indians. So we're on our way up there, and I'm a passenger in their car. These are three other guys. We're a passenger in the car, and we're cruising to like 70, 75 miles an hour, and we're singing worship songs. I like singing worship songs, you know. And I look over, and the dude has his hands off the steering wheel and his eyes closed. And I slapped him. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm driving by faith. I said, oh, brother, I'm going to punch you in the face. You're not driving by faith with me in the car. Some fear is healthy. But if fear is controlling you, then you are not going to make it to your next level. One of the challenges of this service is confronting, just like I have to confront. I have to confront my fears. Just because you win once doesn't mean it's not going to try to come back. And I have to confront my fear and say to myself, listen, Jesus was rejected by his family. Jesus was rejected by his disciples. Jesus was rejected by the Jewish nation. Jesus was rejected by his own town. I'm in pretty good camp. And if Jesus can do it, I can do it. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter what fear is in your life, you've got to make a decision. You can't let it control you. You can't let it control you. What is that fear in your life? Well, I'm not afraid of anything. Get real. What is the fear that's in your life that holds you back? What is that fear in your life that the Holy Spirit's going to put his finger on this week and say, listen now, we're going to start dealing with this. I'm not saying it's easy. Listen, I've been in my prayer closet. I've been in my man cave praying and saying, God, I need to understand these emotions. God, I got to understand what I'm feeling. God, I got to understand how to hold them in captivity so that they don't captivate me. God, I got to understand what's going on in my life. God, I got to understand these things because I can't afford not to go to the next level. This church cannot afford for their pastor to say in the old and not move forward into the next level. It's time for us to all to move. And listen, if you're not moving, somebody else is not moving. What is that fear in your life? I'd like you to bow your head. Just, I want you to be honest.
You do know that the greatest deceiver is not Satan, right? Satan has already been defeated. He's really not a formidable foe. The greatest thing that we have to deal with in our lives is ourselves deceiving ourselves, because it's very easy for us to put ourselves in a position where we don't want to deal with issues. Some of you have serious issues in your life, and you keep going around the same mountain time and time again. Every time that fear button is pushed in your life, you're back in the same location that you were when you were six. God is saying it's time to get healed. It's time to overcome. It's time to go to your next level. It's time for you to have victory in your life. What is that fear? What is that fear? Ask yourself right now. Ask the Holy Spirit. What is that fear that's holding me back from moving to my next level? What is that thing, God, that you want to extract from my life? You see, if you're never willing to confront it, you'll never overcome it. The confronting it is the challenge, because that means we've got to feel uncomfortable and deal with real issues. But I'd rather deal with those real issues and be more than a conqueror in Christ than be conquered for something from our past and never allowed to move forward. What is that fear? What is that fear in your life? You see, today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you might have the fear of death. I've met so many people. I'm afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die because I know where I go. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Today you might be dealing with fear because you're not born again. Today you might be worried and feared about, will people from my life reject me because I'm going to give my heart to Jesus? They might. But with God on your side, baby, you can't lose. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join religion. I want you to know Christ, because Christ is going to give you the power to overcome your fear. He's going to give you the anointing to destroy its power in your life, and you're going to accelerate in your life. You're going to do things you never even thought possible. My wife would never have ever thought, never, listen now, in 1993, a prophet came in and he prophesied over my wife. He said, you're going to speak to some of the largest crowds in America and as a woman's minister, and you are going to be very blessed financially. And you know what? No, listen now. I remember those days. Rhonda never left the children's ministry. She never said a word up front. She was always in the background, never wanted to be seen. She was afraid to be seen up front. But thank God, her fears didn't control her future. This year she'll travel the country, she'll go overseas. Not because she's great, but because the God inside her is great. But if fear overshadows her faith, she'll never believe who God created her to be. True humility is not scraping your head on the ground and acting pious. True humility is knowing who you are in Christ and walking in it with your shoulders back, your head high, as a son and daughter of the Most High King, as an ambassador, a messenger from heaven. You see, you are the anointed of God on this planet. Don't ever allow the devil to lie to you. Don't ever allow your fear to control you. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to pray with you. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone here this morning? I'm not going to wait real long. Come on, saints, you need to be bringing sinners to the house of God. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else this morning? You want to get right with God? This is your moment. Thank you very much. Thank you. I see your hand back there. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Come on, I'm not going to wait real long, baby girl. Anybody else? It's your moment. Don't miss it. Don't let your fear. Oh, my goodness. My fear says this: what's everyone going to think? What's everybody going to say? Is everyone going to look at me? Who cares? That's fear. Why would you allow that to control your eternity? One more time. Anybody? Anybody else want to give their heart to Jesus? Thank you. I see your hand, baby girl. Anybody else? Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. Now, this is what I want to explain to you, what we're going to be doing. Is that all right? I'm going to explain what we're going to be doing. What did you learn today? That if you live by fear, you'll never reach your next level. Addressing your fear is mandatory to accelerate in God. If you're dealing with a fear that seems to overcome and overpower you on a consistent basis, the prayer team's around the front of the altar. Sometimes you just need someone to agree with you. You need someone to stand with you. After you've done all you can do to stand, stand there for. But sometimes you need a faith friend to muscle through. Today, if you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to ask you to be brave. Can I have you stand up two steps, please? This is Mindy. If you raise your hand for salvation, we're going to ask you to meet us right here up front. We want to pray with you, get you a Bible, and build you and encourage you. So if you raise your hand for salvation, I'd like you to meet me right up front right now. Just come right out of your chair. That's all right. Don't let your fear try to control your life. Can everybody do me a favor? Can you look to the person next to you and say, if you raise your hand but are afraid to go up, I'll go with you. Come on, turn to the person next to you and say it. Very good. Thank you. I'm so excited for you. Yay! It's your day. Just follow Mindy right over there. She's going to pray with you. Baby girl, I'm so proud of you. This is what's going to happen. This week I taught how powerful fear is if you allow it to control your next level. Next week at 10 a.m. is Rick Shelton. What time is service next week? 10 a.m. The week after that, I'm going to preach the Word of God and teach you how to control your fear. Listen, you can be delivered from fear, but if you never learn how to control it, it will always come back and own you again. We're going to teach you through the Word of God how to stay overcoming of your fear. And man, then the week after that, Pastor Ron is going to be preaching the Word of God. Amen. You don't want to miss that one either. So I love you. Can I release a blessing? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the authority you have given me in your name. I thank you that you have called me and appointed me as your pastor over this house. I thank you for the authority that you have granted to me to release blessings from heaven on your body. And I declare in Jesus' name that, Lord, anybody that's lost in this room that is not reconciled, that God, you will draw them unto yourself. I declare that no sickness has a right in our body. I don't care if the flu's going around. I thank you that by your stripes we were healed. I declare that, Lord, germs, I declare that viruses, I declare that flu, Lord, any other disease in our bodies has to come into subjection to the Word of God in Jesus' name. Lord, I declare blessing in everything we say and do for the glory of God. And everybody receiving it said, amen. I love you. Make sure you fill your row next week. Joyce Myers, pastor, will be here. You don't want to miss it. It is a supernatural week.